And if you did all that without getting out of bed, imagine what you're capable of doing.
Okay, how is it that your daughter is also trapped in the cave but has never looked up once? You've been hanging over her for 3 straight episodes.
Oh, you know, children, this is where the season picks up, when the cave starts talking back to me, voiced by the wonderful Peter Falk.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series, going through everything in chronological order. I'm one of your 2 hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. Why did you say it in such a delicate way?
Is that a weird way to... It's not like we've been doing this for 50 plus episodes now that I would, you know how to introduce you properly.
I don't know.
Wow. Hey, question before we start.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And I think, you know, we're married.
You think we're married?
No, sorry. It's a weird way to say that.
I think a bunch of people came and saw it happen.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Okay. It happened. I have no memory of it, but it did. So.
Which, you know.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be fun.
And Elvis would be there to either marry us or just be a witness?
I was just looking through stuff on Instagram or Facebook or something.
Sure. Sounds right.
There was this, older, probably close to our age, perhaps it was a second marriage, and mm-hmm. they got married in Vegas, and I was like, that just would be fun. That's the end of my story.
There's always a chance for you to get married a second time.
Yeah.
My question is, and I feel like I would know, knowing you, I feel like I would know the answer to this.
But you're asking anyway.
I'm asking anyway because mm-hmm. we often talk about, I will reference things on TV when I was growing up that you didn't see because of cable.
Right.
And then a lot of times...
I grew up in Little House on the Prairie. Yes. I didn't have cable.
Yeah, like Michael Landon only had, you know, the basics in that log cabin. But then there are times where you will talk about things that I have no knowledge of because you were forced to watch them. Because you didn't have cable.
Okay.
Like, the amount of knowledge that you have about Baywatch is very surprising.
Should we start a Baywatch podcast?
Oh, I'd be watching it for the first time. I may have seen an episode of Baywatch.
Television programming sometimes.
Right.
And that was like a Sunday afternoon to early evening marathon, I believe.
You know, honestly, yeah. Even with cable, Sundays were a really rough time. To get through TV.
Okay.
But my question is, as I would assume the answer is no, but maybe you will surprise me. The answer is yes. Have you ever watched soap operas?
I feel like I tried.
Okay.
Like maybe in the summer or like I would try to watch them because I felt like, you know, like that's what teenagers? I don't know.
I'm
not really sure. Like, but yeah.
I thought I tried. I thought it was more a thing for
housewives.
I was going to say, take no offense, listeners, but I was going to say bored housewives or older people. You know, that just sort of have time on their hands.
I don't know.
But you're right.
I feel like maybe people watch stuff. Because I remember people talking about, like, certain... soap opera couples and stuff like that.
Luke and Laura.
Yeah. But,
right? Were they?
Yeah.
But that's when we were like, real little kids, I think, right?
Yes, I don't know.
I don't remember. Who shot JR?
Oh.
this is all I...
That but wasn't with like Dallas.
No, Dallas was a nighttime, prime time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no. I feel like I tried to because I felt like I was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
It seems dense.
I feel like there were people in college that would arrange their schedule to be able to watch certain TV shows.
Makes sense.
Was that soap operas, perhaps? I don't know.
Perhaps.
I don't remember anybody that I hung out with doing that. Like needing to be able to watch a soap opera, but they might have. I don't remember.
So like me and my housemate making sure we didn't have night classes so that we could watch Charmed. That wasn't.
And you watch that's Jeopardy not what you're as well in competitions.
We would, yeah. We lost all the time to every contestant on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Normally, we'd end up with negative money.
Oh, wow.
We would have to keep track because, you know, try and answer a question. You get it wrong, you owe that $800.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's a wonderful segue into this episode because we're talking. Now, we've heard a lot about Sunrise Bay throughout the series. This is a real heavy Sunrise Bay episode.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm saying anything that people. Yeah. So, all right, let's get into it. And then we can talk about Sunrise Bay a little bit.
Okay.
I feel like we should. Okay. It is season 6, episode 10, Sunrise, comma, Sunset.
Oh, I had a slash. Was it a comma?
I think it's a comma. I think it's a comma. The original air date was March 10th, 2020. Were we fully in COVID at this time?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, but like it was coming.
Okay. So by between this episode and next episode, like you're saying we're right into it. Okay. Yeah. This episode is directed by Jordan Canning. We will talk more about Jordan and her amazing body of work. I think next episode, because this is the second to last episode that she directs. And I'm pretty sure it's either the next or the whatever. This episode is written by Kurt Smeaton, who I
feel like either I've never heard that name or it's been a really long time since I've heard that name.
Okay, neither. Neither, because your thought was kind of like mine, where when I wrote his name down, I thought to myself, oh, this must be a one and done. Wrong. This is a two and done.
Oh.
He wrote Maid of Honor earlier this season.
Okay.
So I'm sure we talked about him then, but that's it for him. We will wrap everything. And I think after his work on this series, his current claim to fame is that he is the writer and creator of the sitcom Children Ruin Everything, which I agree with that statement.
Wow.
But, sorry, it was a rough night of sleeping last night where two of our children could not sleep. But one is old enough
to. It's not like we have infants.
No. Right? Well, I was about to say one is old enough to deal with it on her own. But the other one should be old enough to deal with it on her own, too. But she's. It was a lot. But anyway, that series, I believe, is in its second season, and it stars Megan Rath, a.k.a. Claire.
Uh-huh.
So that's what he's up to right now, and this is his last writing credit for this particular series.
All right.
Let's go.
To the cafe.
To the cafe.
I love that Johnny orders the Little Farmer's Breakfast. That was quite possibly one of my favorite things of this episode.
Yeah. I didn't catch it at first.
Adorable.
But going back through quotes, like if people download the episode, if you're listening to this, you can scroll and there's show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And my show notes, I just talk about a few things that we, you know, mentioned for the episode. But I always start with a quote. And just looking through quotes, I didn't catch the Little Farmer's Breakfast until I saw it in the quote. And it's amazing. No, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I caught it right away. I wrote it down. Little Farmer's Beefast.
The little I get because it seems like that would be a small portion. But when I hear farmer's breakfast, that sounds like a lot. That sounds like eggs and bacon. And
but you know how some places will have like a lumberjack breakfast and that's just like everything?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the little farmer's breakfast would be, but I kind of love it.
Maybe it's the regular farmer's, but like a child size portions of everything.
Is it the half combo or the full combo? Maybe there's no such thing.
But Johnny, in his brief time working, was like, well, you know what would be great
if there was a little farmer's breakfast. And Twyla's probably just like, oh, God, he's ordering a little farmer's breakfast.
He's ordering that made-up dish that he created his one day that he worked here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great. I have to tell you, because Twyla comes over
to take their order.
Oh,
and we didn't even mention like who was there. It's Johnny, Moira, and David. It's
nearly the whole family.
Yeah.
Whole family to come.
Yeah.
But so they're Johnny mentions that they are going out to do a tasting for just the whole spread, I guess. Yeah.
Food, yeah.
Right. And it is brought up, how come the cafe isn't catering this event?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And I...
What would it be, like smoothies and combos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is perfectly fine.
Not for David?
No, not for David. I would figure
David
this...
needs something a little more...
I would figure at this point, they have been in this town for, I don't know, three plus years, something like that. Every now and then it is mentioned that a few years have passed. I figure he...
It should be on the house?
No.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
By this point, David should have lowered certain expectations, right?
Yeah, but it's his wedding. When you're planning a wedding, like you have... He wants this to be like it would have been. Was he still in his previous life?
No, you're right. Okay.
It's a wedding. It's not just like this is a surprise birthday party for Patrick and we can have the crab cakes. Right. Like this is like a huge event. So
point taken. Okay.
I think that's why he still has big dreams for his small town.
It surprises me that he is not shocked by the prices or that this isn't registering to him that this could be a financial burden on his family.
Yeah, I guess he's just figuring that they're in a better place.
Yeah.
Money-wise, in light of the Crows movie and...
Oh, you're right. Know, okay. Like, yeah, plus he owns his own store.
He's not paying. But, you know, and the fact that they're, like, investing in these hotels and everything. So I'm assuming... And he's probably lost sight of things a little bit. Like, in the excitement of... I mean, clearly he lowered his photography standards.
Because he went with Ray.
So maybe, but he did make mention of the fact that the food, he said, you don't want everybody just paying attention to the food, Johnny said to him later on. And he's like, that's the only thing I want people paying attention to, basically. So, like, the food is clearly a place where he is not anticipating cutting corners, I think.
Okay. No, you're right. Okay. That's actually a good point, because I remember in our wedding how it was like, there were all these things that you had to spend money on, so what... are you going to spend money on?
What's the most important?
And then what can you sort of, I don't want to say cut corners, but make do with?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay.
Like, where are your...
So the food, all right. Wow. And that's the thing. I would not think that food would be the thing that you really want people to come away with, you know?
Well, I guess.
Because I just, and I guess I'm just thinking about...
lifestyle. Like that's, you know, big parties with really good meals and food probably like an importance.
I guess I'm just thinking about all the weddings I've been to. I've never once thought about the food, cared about the food. It's never stuck with me. Maybe we've never been to a wedding that had good food, I guess.
Well, we've been to a couple weddings that I think have had good food. I think I'm always excited about the food because it's like a meal I don't have to cook. It's like going out to dinner.
It is. I mean,
which is super exciting.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you're like constantly planning meals and making food, it's not fun, so it's fun when somebody...
No, you're right. And food is one of the things that they're graded on in that wedding show. What is that wedding show called? Four Weddings?
Oh,
that
Four Weddings.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I love that show.
This is great. We're barely into the... We've been talking now for 15
about
minutes.
About the Little Farmer's
we're
Breakfast.
We're not even into this episode, but that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm really surprised by is that Twyla... David did not plan on inviting Twyla to this wedding. How many people do they know in this town that they're going to invite?
I guess if they wanted it small and intimate, I don't know. Yeah.
I guess. There's a whole other table. We find out later. Because he was allowed to finally invite people from New York.
Right.
But I don't know. How could you not invite Twyla?
Yeah.
But that's the big concern, is Johnny spills, kind of like messes this up by saying, well, I kind of, you know, how could Twyla enjoy herself at the wedding if she's also working?
Yeah. Which... And then she's like, oh my gosh, am I invited? And I like the way that David said, sure looks like it. The way he said that had almost a Jocelyn-like vibe.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
To me.
No, I can see that.
The way he said it is tone everything.
Yeah.
I wrote down, like, it almost sounded like something like that Jocelyn would say.
Yeah.
The way he said it. It was kind of funny.
Right. Where Jocelyn sometimes does deliver lines that border between genuine and sarcastic. Right. You know what I mean? And most of the time it's when she's talking to Moira.
Yeah. Yeah, but even just the way he said it was really funny.
Yes.
I thought it had a Jocelyn vibe.
So also at this meal, this all-important meal to start the episode, we find out from Moira that Tippi Bernstein is coming to visit her.
Yeah, because she needs to order. She orders the fruit cup to go.
Right.
No little farmer's breakfast for her. She's taking the fruit cup and she's on the run to a very important power breakfast.
I don't know what's going on because she seems to be in a hurry to leave the cafe so she can come back to the cafe later.
Maybe she just needs to leave to get herself
ready. Get herself ready for this.
I think she's wearing the same outfit.
I think she is too. Yeah. Maybe it's just to mentally prepare. You know, this is her first business meeting in quite a while.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know what it's about. It must be something big, though. It must be something important because he is flying in, driving in, whatever, to actually come see her. This isn't something they're just doing over the phone.
Right.
And now the fourth member of the family shows up.
Yep.
And it
looking
is...
natural and peppy.
That's what Moira says.
That's what Johnny
says. Oh, Johnny says that. Okay.
Yeah, I believe it's all right. Johnny. That's what I wrote anyway.
Right. It's a... I think, first of all, to use the term schlubby whenever referring to Alexis seems unfair. Because even I'm going to say, natural Alexis looks better than most people when they are dressed to the nines.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, her hair's pulled up into a, I wouldn't even call it a messy bun.
It's like a little half-down bun.
That's great, yes.
Yep.
She has seen better days. She's sort of dealing with this fallout from Ted, of course.
And what's his face? Artie.
Oh, yeah, Artie. Yeah. God, I forgot about Artie, yeah. I mean, I would assume that the Artie thing isn't weighing on her quite as much as Ted.
But two breakups in a very short time.
A week, maybe? I'm not even entirely sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she sits down. Has decided to venture out to join her family for this breakfast.
Yes.
And a big piece of her hair falls out.
Yeah, David kind of pulls out. He's like, oh, you have something in your hair, and pulls out like an extension or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's when we get our title card and we are into the episode.
Yes.
And now we're at this new motel.
Yes.
Hotel. Motel?
Motel.
It's a motel.
It's still a motel.
All right. Okay. For a staff orientation. So,
There's a lot
has happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a full staff to work here.
Uh-huh.
They were just
They don't even have that many staff in their current hotel.
No.
Hotel that is has a lot of people in and out.
Yeah, that's the thing is.
And sometimes all their staff is at other places. So
yeah.
No one's really working there.
This place
maybe
doesn't
have...
seem as big. I mean, sorry, wait, this place seems bigger.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell. It looks like it kind of wraps around almost in like a U kind of shape.
But not significantly larger.
No, I guess.
But I think we're meant to believe that they do better business because they actually have a paved parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just in a more affluent area, busier area.
Yeah. And plus, to be honest, I mean, at the other place, two of the people working there are owners. And I feel like they're working more hours than you would expect an employee to work. Bless you.
Thank you.
All right. So, staff orientation at this new place, about to open up, I guess. Last time there was deep cleaning going on.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess this is, you know, like we're getting ready to open.
Yeah.
But clearly, like, they're doing last minute inspections, I would say.
It seems like something that should have been done earlier in the process. Meaning, Johnny and Roland are out there with these employees.
Yeah.
And then Stevie comes out of the office with concerns.
Right. Yes. Wants to talk to Mr. Rose privately, to which he's like, well, no, we're all family here. Right.
We're all part of the Rosebud family.
Right. So then Stevie shares that there is, Ronnie has discovered termite damage in room 6, and the entire foundation is about to collapse.
This family between, I'm going to say, a bathroom at Patrick's, a bathroom at the apothecary, this whole thing, they're really keeping Ronnie in business.
Yeah.
Like, this family's given, I assume so. Okay. Well,
I don't know. She's
only it is Patrick.
Yeah.
I do like how when this is a concern and Johnny and Roland decide to go over, how Johnny says, feel free to help yourself to our vending machines. Right. To these wonderful employees.
Yeah. Yeah. But so they're trying to brainstorm how they're going to cover all these costs.
Mm-hmm.
And Roland said he can donate his other kidney.
Right.
And
yes.
See how things go, basically.
Yes.
Stevie said she knows someone from high school who sets accidental fires.
Accidental fires. He can take care of this. Right. No problem, honestly. Yeah. But this, neither of these are really great solutions as far as Johnny's concerned.
Yeah. So they need to have a little bit of their work cut out for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a big, you know, sort of wrench in their plans of expanding.
Well, and employing people.
Yeah, you're suddenly paying people to work at a motel that is falling apart.
Right. Yeah.
So now let's go back to the motel that we're more familiar with.
The Rosebud.
And two, don't you think this new one would be a Rosebud,
I guess,
as well?
But it's not yet. It's not official.
Oh, this sign's not up yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. So Alexis appears to be spending her time really diving into, Moira says, the box set of Sunrise Bay.
Yeah, she's binge-watching a little bit of Sunrise Bay.
If there's no way that all soaps are this funny.
I think they're ridiculous, but I think this is taking...
This is... I would watch this.
You would?
Oh, I would watch this in a heartbeat. Just some of the plot lines we're given.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's in a cave, why she's been trapped in a cave for several episodes with her daughter. She vomited out a demon.
I think there was a soap opera where somebody was trapped in a cave in a snowstorm. I don't know why I remember that, but I do feel like, unless I'm thinking of that Silver Spoons episode where people were living in a cave.
Oh, but yes, the homeless family that lived in a cave.
I do feel like there was some, I don't know, maybe that's been a plot line in a lot of TV shows.
Well, there was a Fresh Prince where he and Carlton were trapped on a mountaintop in the snow. Because I guess their cart went over a cliff. That doesn't sound right. But I do remember that was an episode.
So maybe just caves are very common.
It's easy to set dress, I guess. It's dark and you kind of paint the walls brown and you're in a cave.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. But I feel like that's not so far-fetched considering we've just named 2 or 3 other sitcoms or television dramas that have people have been trapped in caves.
Also, how is Moira
hanging above?
Were they spelunking and she's on a rope?
I don't know.
And her daughter's been, because they were talking about ghosts. So I thought, oh, is Moira a ghost hovering above her daughter?
I have no idea.
This is why I want to watch this.
But we didn't get to all that yet.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I can't
watching.
Contain my enthusiasm for Sunrise Bay.
Yeah. She's watching her great uncle, Uncle Sparky, who's actually Clifton Sparks, right?
Yes.
Yes.
In an amazing wig. Just this terrible looking wig to make him appear younger. Moira is also in a wig. And their doctors arguing about, I love how Moira says, how can you possibly tell me to murder my father twice?
Yeah.
To which she slaps him, which is fun, a couple times, and then grabs a bottle of pills out of his hand and takes the pills before walking away.
Yeah.
So let's get into...
But wait, before...
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we don't need to talk about
really
Clifton Sparks.
That,
yeah.
Alexis decides that she's going to come along to this meeting.
Oh, Sure.
As her publicist, as Moira's publicist, she's like, maybe I should come along. And before they, you know, they make I guess her decision is made. Right. She, Moira's like, no, you should really stay here where no one can see you. For critical self-care.
Yeah, Moira's really embarrassed by, I guess she's afraid of what Alexis might say or might do, or maybe just the vibe that Alexis may give off. Because mm-hmm. while Moira doesn't know what's going on, this can't be bad. You know, mm-hmm. this has to be something good. So I guess she's more like she doesn't want Alexis blowing this for her,
yeah.
whatever this opportunity may be.
Right.
So because we watched TV and we saw Clifton Sparks, let's talk about Clifton Sparks.
Oh, we're going to talk about him now?
Of course. He's there. He showed up. I know he's showed up on a television.
I thought we'd talk about him once he goes to the cafe and talk about he and Tippy together.
If you want me to go through my notes in a weird order. All right. So let's talk about Victor Garber, yeah. which I wish I had done research whether that's his real name because it's an amazing name, but also sounds like a fake name.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. So our two guest stars, actually we have four guest stars on this, but our two big guest stars, they've been around the block, let's say. He's got 145 credits on IMDb.
And they're like good credits.
Well,
I don't want to say good credits, wow. but well-known credits, perhaps is a better way to put it.
All right. I mean, if you want to trash talk Degrassi, The Next Generation, and I don't know, Nikita or whatever else we talk about all the time, mm-hmm. go right ahead. But yeah, I mean, it's bigger stuff, let's say. He has been nominated for multiple Emmys, mm-hmm. three Emmy nominations from Alias.
Okay.
Which I kind of forgot he was on Alias.
Yeah.
Because we didn't watch Alias.
I think we started it or we tried to.
Yes. A friend of you gave us.
A friend of you.
A friend of you.
A friend of yours.
A friend of yous gave us. I guess the box set or the first season, and we gave it a shot, and we weren't an episode or two in before we realized Alias was not for us.
Yeah,
I know you're not into, I feel like, snappy dialogue like that. Like, oh. I feel like that's why you don't like Buffy. You never got into Buffy.
I don't know that I ever really tried to watch that.
Okay. But anyway, so he was on that mm-hmm. and Emmy nominated, and I think a lot of listeners probably know him from that, or maybe first noticed him in that.
I know him from Legally Blonde.
Well, of course. I didn't want to make assumptions.
Did you think I was going to say something else?
Well, I thought you maybe were going to say Titanic, but no, I knew you were going to say Legally Blonde.
I kind of forgot about Titanic.
Yeah, he was the guy who like designed the ship in Titanic. I don't know. I know that people love Titanic, and I know mm-hmm. you had the double VHS box of Titanic.
Maybe.
I feel like I've only seen it one time.
I've seen it in the theaters. Okay. I think I saw it in theaters multiple times.
Right. He also received Emmy nominations for guest appearances on Frasier and Will and Grace.
Oh.
Two shows that I've never watched either.
I feel like I've seen them, but not.
Yeah.
Avid fan.
Yeah, I really do. It's silly to say, but I feel like when I see him, I think of Legally Blonde as well.
Yeah.
I think you and I saw that in the theater, right? Or did we see,
I think we went to see
Red,
it.
White, and Blonde in the theater?
I don't know.
I know I saw that in the theater. When else would I have seen that?
I think we went, though, when we were in college. We used to be able to go and watch movies in the student union.
I feel like that's where I saw Legally Blonde.
Movies in the student union.
But he was in three movies that were nominated for Best Picture. Titanic, uh-huh. Milk, and Argo. Uh-huh. Because he is really good friends, of course, with Jennifer Garner. But also, what's his name? They were married. Why can't I think of his name? Good Will Hunting. Ben Affleck.
Oh.
That's who I'm thinking of. He officiated their wedding.
Oh.
Interesting.
Oh.
Fun facts there.
That is a fun fact.
He is also a wonderful stage performer. Four Tony Award nominations as well. And he's probably the first Schitt's Creek actor to appear on The Simpsons. He was on there as well. Yeah, go ahead.
So, question.
Yeah.
He has all these nominations for things. Did he win?
I don't think he's ever won an Emmy. He won other, okay. I don't want to say lesser awards, but we'll call them lesser awards.
I'm just thinking of how Moyer's character is Emmy, which right. is just why I thought that was
ironic. Oh, that's kind of fun. Yeah. Yeah. So he currently is in the TV series The Orville and something called Family Law. So that's what he's doing now. Also, and, you know, getting, I know that one thing that we don't do here, and I don't really do it all that often either because I don't really care. It's not that interesting to me. We don't talk about actors' sexuality, but he's gay. I didn't know that. And he's married to a man. I wish I had put this guy's name down because this guy used to be a model. And wowzers, I want to say that Victor Garber's doing pretty well for himself. He is married to a good-looking man who seems a little bit, maybe a little bit younger than him. But yeah, and he's Canadian. No surprise there with just about everyone that has anything to do with this show. So big time. And I don't remember if we talked about this on our last episode or we talked about it after the fact. The fact that in this episode, it's a little bit surprising to get someone of this caliber as a guest. You know, I think a lot of people from Schitt's Creek went on to do things that are more prominent. I mean, Tim Rosen's all over the place now.
Every Hallmark movie.
Every Hallmark movie.
No, he's been in other stuff, but yeah.
But to get and somebody... Jake. Yeah, yes.
Like we've seen him a lot.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not that they're... have gone on to do a lot. It's just that we notice them now.
I guarantee you that's what it is.
Notoriety.
But I think you and I were talking, and honestly, I can't remember if it was on the episode or not, about how when a show is popular, I feel like sometimes famous people watch it and then, you know, would reach out to, let's say, Dan Levy and say, can I just be on your show? And it's kind of surprising that either that hasn't happened or they don't grant those requests, but this guy popping up seems kind of surprising, kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to a fancy restaurant, I'm assuming in Elmdale.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
I don't think they specify.
All right. Where
it's already there.
Yes.
Johnny and Stevie are approaching and discussing that they're a little bit, Johnny's kind of a little bit nervous. Based on the fact that they are just realizing that there's a huge cost associated with their new motel.
I like to think that they now just kind of left Roland in charge of the debacle that is their new motel and kind of taking charge of the current motel while they decide to go and try some food.
Yeah.
So they're there with Penelope. Penelope also...
I did not even catch that name, so good for you.
Yeah, she has a name, Penelope. She has a very Stevie look to her. I really... When I was looking at her, I was like, oh, she could be like Stevie's stunt double if they ever needed that, I think. If you look at this woman in any other images online, she does not look like Stevie at all. Okay. But I think it might be like the hair pulled back or something like that. But
Stevie never has her hair pulled back.
No, okay. I just... Interesting. If she doesn't have her hair pulled back, it's really all over the place in everything that I've seen. So Penelope is played by Janelle Williams. Again, a very impressive IMDb, but not much in regards to shows that we've really talked to death. Her biggest thing is she was in 52 episodes of a series called Warehouse 13, which we've talked about before and will come up again. But she's been in Saving Hope, Flashpoint, and Dark Matter. Those were the ones that really jumped out in a lot of films. And as is the case with a lot of these actors, quite a few Hallmark Christmas movies. So I talked earlier about how David is able to finally invite 8 people from New York. So there's an extra table here. And Johnny is, of course, and Stevie, kind of shocked by the prices.
Right. Stevie asks, is that the price per table? And then they realize, no, that it's the price per plate.
Yes.
They're trying the tenderloin, which Johnny's kind of excited about.
He's very excited about it. I love how he's concerned that they're paying for the samples. He's right, like, well, we're not paying for the samples. We're not right? We're not paying for the samples. Mm-hmm. And then when he's informed that they're not, he has to bring more food out if that's possible.
Yeah, the duck confit brings up.
And, yes. Yeah. His friends from New York, they're a caviar crowd, which Penelope seems very excited by. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, not that anything else really doesn't happen in this scene, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of getting the vibe that Johnny is price nervous, just in the comments that he's making. It's subtle, but...
Exactly. But, and again, we're never really told how many people... This is an extra table, but we don't know how many other tables there have been. Right. I mean, we could probably sit here and do the math. Is Bob coming? Probably not. If... You know, if Twyla wasn't going to be invited, I doubt Bob's going to be there. But regardless, this is a lot of money.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So let's return to the cafe, shall we?
Yeah.
Where we meet Tippi.
Tippi.
Good old Tippi Bernstein is there. I love how he greets Moira with a Moira fucking rose, which is really kind of fun. And he seems to have a really hard time getting out of the booth.
Yeah. He seems to not be steady on his feet.
I don't, I even tried to think back to, is this a running gag that there's not a lot of room between a booth and a table? But I don't think so.
I don't know.
I'd like to think it's just this actor had a hard time and they went, we'll just leave it in. That's funny. Okay. So this actor, his name is Saul Rubinek. His first IMDb credit back in 1968. And you can scroll for days.
I thought, he looks familiar, but why do we know him?
I don't know what from.
Did
like
he look
that's
familiar to you?
Oh, no, no. Yeah,
the
no.
The name even seems familiar.
I know him. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. Okay. He has over 170 credits on IMDb.
More than Victor Garland.
He's been around a little bit longer. He was in a movie called Sweet Liberty that I may have done for another podcast. I'm just plugging good times, great movies right now. But yeah, he was in that. He's been in huge movies. He was in Wall Street. He was in Bonfire of the Vanities. He was in True Romance. He was in Unforgiven. He's been in a lot of stuff and a ton of TV shows. But I don't want to say bigger shows, but he's been in Grey's Anatomy. He's been in Law and Order. He's been in Curb Your Enthusiasm, as well as a bunch of shows that we talk about all the time.
Right.
But the reason why I talked about Warehouse 13 is he was a star of that series, Warehouse 13. Mm-hmm. It went on from 2009 to 2014.
Okay.
It was on Sci-Fi. I watched it for a little bit. It was good enough to keep my attention for like a season. But that's a big show that a lot of people are in. And he was like the star of the show.
Okay.
So I feel like it makes more sense for him to show up.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say than Victor Garber, but it makes a little more sense. Uh-huh. But that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
So in a lot of stuff. And we do very quickly find out that he brought Clifton along with him.
Yes. Clifton's at the counter.
Ordering. Let's call it the bar.
Alcohol.
Yes. I like how Moira refers to him as looking dewy.
Uh-huh.
And he says that he gave up the drink. He's only a wine and scotch man now.
Right.
So they all sit down to discuss what they're there to discuss.
Yeah. Because she's like, why did you call all of us together? What's going on? And Tippi shares that they want to do a reunion. This is like their little reunion.
Like a reboot.
Or they want to do a reboot of Sunrise Bay. And they're kind of coming up with a new, like, trendy, younger cast.
Yeah.
But they want some of the old, you know, old fixtures.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would assume... we kind of talked about it before, but because he does say it's a prime time thing, like Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they rebooted Dallas in the 2010s. And I'm assuming...
Is rebooted right now?
Maybe.
Like Dynasty, Dallas.
Oh, you might be right.
I'm not sure.
But I'm assuming
I feel like
that
something now.
If Larry Hagman... I don't know, is Larry Hagman still alive?
I don't think so, but I don't really know.
If Larry Hagman was still alive when they rebooted Dallas, I'm assuming you bring him on for a few episodes or something like that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
The people that everybody loved.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they were killed off and shredded.
Right.
Right. Still bring them back.
Yes. It's really interesting how at the outset, Moira's kind of put off by this. Like, she just is like, yeah, that's a thing that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Until they mention that Nicole Kidman did sign on to this.
Right, yeah.
So they're there very excited and sort of get Moira very excited about this idea.
Yeah, she's excited, but still kind of, like, guarded and, like, not really buying into it 100%.
Right.
They give her her contract to read over.
Mm-hmm.
And Tippy suggests that they just meet later for dinner.
Well, drinks. It's not even dinner.
Right? Yeah.
It's just these are our midday drinks. Right. And then later for evening drinks, we'll go to the Wobbly Elm. Yeah. And that's where we'll hammer out the details of this contract.
Right.
So now Moira comes back to the motel after a quick commercial break to really share this news with Alexis, because Alexis is still there watching
Alexis
show.
Alexis is there, and she, as soon as Moira walks in, she's like, I have a lot of questions about Sunrise Bay, because she, you know, has been watching, and lots of thoughts are in her mind. You know, she's been on the fan boards and everything.
Yes.
And social media.
Oh.
And researching and reading, and
I think my favorite line of this episode is when they're talking to each other about how, I think Alexis says, how insulting your death was. And Moira says, it wasn't that bad. And she says, you vomited a demon into a toilet and then fell in and drowned. Which, what a wonderful, like, crazy death for a character in a soap opera. Which, like I said, I don't think soap operas are like this. But you said maybe, which makes me very interested to know. Mm-hmm. And listeners, let me know, is there anything to this level of insanity that happened on any soap opera ever?
Yeah, I don't know.
I also feel like when we were talking about soap operas earlier, I feel like it's an investment. Like, if you wanted to get in, these are things that have been going on for decades.
Yeah, there's
with established characters,
storylines, and people are on them for years and years and years.
I feel like you'd have to get in, and it's going to take you a month or so to even get caught up to know what's happening.
Yeah, there's so many characters. It's such a big cast and stuff, too. Yeah.
But go ahead. Alexis is watching fan. She's on, like, fan forums?
Yeah, like fan boards, I think they call it. Yeah, she refers to it as. But she's very concerned about the fact that Moira did not negotiate herself out of the show, I guess.
Right.
She is, in all of her research, Alexis has kind of made the assumption or figured out that Clifton Sparks had requested and had Moira written off.
Exactly. Yes. And then she's come to this conclusion by watching an interview that he was giving.
Yes.
While
he appeared to be drunk.
He kind of appeared to be drunk at the cafe, too. And certainly later in this episode. He is being interviewed by someone.
Oh.
Interviewer, she is credited as. Not great. Even, what's her name?
Penelope
has an actual name.
Yeah.
This poor woman just is credited as interviewer. Kathy Maloney, another extensive IMDb.
Oh.
One-offs on quite a few shows that we discussed before, like Degrassi, The Next Generation, Nikita, Flashpoint, Lost Girl, Saving Hope, American Gods, and Titans.
Mm-hmm.
She is mostly credited as reporter, news anchor, newscaster.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes she's doctor or working in government, so she's always in with suits, like office attire. But she's got a certain character that she portrays and does it really well,
right.
I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, yeah, so Moira informs Alexis that she's been asked to be in the reboot, and Alexis said, clearly that's because you're the only person in the show that's making any sort of headlines right now or has any buzz around her. And Alexis kind of said, as your publicist, daughter, and moderator of the Sunrise Bay fan board.
She's been very busy since she's sitting around watching these tapes.
She kind of is discouraging Moira from being involved in this project.
Yes. I do like how Moira's like, well, I'm not the only one in the news. Remember, one of my co-stars had a DUI last month.
Right, yeah.
And it's really, this is, again, a nice moment. I like how Alexis sort of ends this by saying there's nothing wrong with asking for what you're worth, you know?
Yeah.
So now, let's just go to a few doors down to the hotel lobby slash office. Motel office. I will never get the very last episode. I will still call it a hotel lobby.
Yeah.
So Johnny and Stevie are kind of talking about not money issues regarding the wedding, but money issues regarding whole motel venture.
Yeah. They're looking for businesses who can come in and be able to fix the issues, but to do it at low cost.
Right.
So they found Johnny found some a business that had 2 stars, which is better than the 1 star reviews and ratings that he had read about other people.
Sure.
So yeah, like they're just kind of trying to brainstorm, like what can we do on the cheap?
Yeah.
To be able to take care of this issue.
Yeah, because you know, I mean, Ronnie can't always work for gift baskets.
Right, yeah.
But this is interrupted by David coming in.
Yes.
David is very excited about the upcoming wedding, of course. He's very excited about the food.
Yes.
But he certainly senses that
there's a little bit of awkwardness at the tasting about the cost and everything else. But he informs Johnny that he doesn't have to pay for anything. They've discovered that the Brewers have a nice little nest egg set aside for Patrick when he was, I guess, from his previous engagement and everything.
I have to tell you, when I'm watching these episodes, I get Ted's mom and Patrick's parents confused all the time. Because when he brings this up in my mind, I was thinking, oh, well, I guess they're divorced because that Zumba instructor. I don't know why this stuff's going through my head. But yeah, I do get those. Yeah. Parents confused from time to time.
But he said it was a lot of money, more than they had really anticipated, I guess. And that, you know, he's like, they can cover the costs of the food and the extra table. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he had said, they'll cover the cost of the food if you just want to cover the extra table.
Yes.
You know, we could certainly do that.
And it's a nice... it's a nice conversation and a nice resolution to this problem because it's not David freaking out, which is what he probably would have done. A younger David probably would have thrown some sort of tantrum that his dad can't pay for anything. And he goes even farther by saying, if you can't afford this, you don't have to pay anything. Like, we can take care of this.
Right.
But then it's also Johnny sort of meeting him halfway.
Yeah, and his pride.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
He's upset that, you know, he's feeling like this is something we would have easily been able to do in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, we can't even come close to being able to manage this right now.
Right.
But he is not willing to take David up on the offer. And he said, well, you know, if the Brewers would like to pay for the extra table, that would be... wonderful.
Yeah.
But I will take care of covering the cost of the food.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is satisfactory, kind of, for both parties involved. And so David leaves. And after he leaves, Stevie comes over and, you know, like, he's having financial issues with the motel or motels, and then this on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he really just talks to Stevie about what they had planned or what
they,
you know,
had
David
had
planned.
A nest egg
set
aside, and they were going to go to Bali and charter jets.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a whole thing planned. Yeah. And then you see he's like, I'm just going to step outside or whatever, you know.
It's something that we don't see a lot from Johnny. And I feel like
Johnny's like a problem solver, and he's kind of the one member of this family that's always been able to sort of like, well, we'll look on the bright side. We'll figure this out. We can do this. We can manage this. And you sort of see a little bit of a defeated Johnny, which we haven't seen a lot.
No, since episode one, he's kind of the one that keeps this all together. Yes. And like you said, looks on the bright side. I feel like other than, you know, Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose, is I feel like the only other time that we really saw this where Johnny kind of has a big issue.
We saw it in the episode where he got totally drunk.
Remember? Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Like we kind of saw that was a little bit of a
But it's rare because normally, you know, Johnny plot lines involve him unable to fix a sink or a hot water heater and stuff like that. And it's always like kooky fun with him.
Or he always has like a big idea.
Right. Yes. Know? Yeah.
Like or he's the bagel place. Right. Or he needs office
He's pretending to work in Bob's garage. Yeah. Right. But normally he's the one sort of putting out fires.
Yeah.
And so we don't see a lot of this from his character, which I then appreciate when we get to see stuff like this.
Right. Yeah.
So now let's go to the wobbly elm. Yeah. And Moira walks in. Cliff's already slurring his words. Like Cliff is already, I don't know how many scotches deep into this. I assume his lunch drink is wine and then scotch is his evening drink.
I guess. Yeah. I like that Moira is wearing her Sunrise Bay wig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yep. She knows how to do this.
She kind of comes in with that wig that you could see in the episodes that Alexis was watching.
Yep.
So she comes in and they sit down, and it's not long into their conversation that she confronts Clifton about Alexis's suspicions that he got her written off the show.
Yes. I love how he says, I was a different man back then. That was before my liver transplant.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, Tippy tries to defuse this situation, but really doesn't do a very good job of it. Because it really is her confronting Clifton about this issue. And I like how she's now suspicious of him. Like, I don't know what he would have done to influence the Emmy voters. But she puts forth, like, you nominated me for Emmys all the time and I never won.
Or did you really
put in the nominations? Did you really put in the nominations? Yes.
And Tippy's like, oh yeah, we did. And even there was one.
Sorry.
Oh. You get a little musical interlude.
Yeah, musical interlude. If people are hearing this, it's because I normally, I record us on two tracks. This is so much fun
behind the scenes.
I record us on two tracks, and the second track is just the intro, like the little clip, and the intro music, and the outro music, and also... Yeah.
I've never heard that word.
It's the opposite of intro. And if you, earlier this episode, if you heard Johnny Rose quickly break in with a quote, that's all on that track. And I usually mute it when we record. I didn't.
Oh.
It's amazing that it's taken me this long to not mute that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So now that we've been distracted from what we were talking about.
Right.
Yes, they also nominated her for an actor, best actor.
Right, when she was playing, like...
her brother.
Her brother? Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah. So, this all culminates in her slapping Clifton three times.
Yeah. As a la Roland at their...
Yep.
Dinner.
It's a wonderful callback to that.
Yep.
Again... dispute over contracts, dispute over papers that need to be signed in which Moira starts slapping people.
Yeah. But Tippy kind of says, well, maybe you should, you know, consider my offer as my amends, basically.
Exactly.
But then Moira says after her slaps that she has a few demands.
Yes.
But and we don't get to find out these demands just yet.
Right.
We are back at the cafe.
Yes. Boy, we're at the cafe a lot. I didn't really think about that. But it's a it's Rosebud Motel employee sort of
powwow planning
meeting. Yes.
Yeah.
Which I know we talked about this before, how they must do this regularly. Like they decide, let's go out for something to eat and let's do our power dinner, yeah, which is what they're doing here.
But at first it's just Johnny and Roland.
Right. Yes.
Stevie is yet to arrive.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I love that Roland has
sell his baseball.
A Gina Davis signed baseball. That's so much fun. Uh-huh. And honestly, there are probably weird baseball collectors out there that would love that. You know, memorabilia,
yeah,
movie memorabilia,
oh, yeah,
tied to baseball. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure people would love that stuff. But it's also really funny.
Yeah.
So they both, the two of them are sort of discussing just trying to sell this new motel.
Right.
Cut their losses.
Like, I think we just need to sell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love how through this entire conversation, Roland goes back and forth between completely agreeing and disagreeing with proposals by both of them,
right,
but sort of contradicting at every turn what it is that he's, yeah, saying. He's just there as a goofy guy as they actually, right, try and make progress on this.
Right.
But Stevie comes in and she has a bold plan,
yep,
which is to buy 20 to 30 more motels.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which if you can't pay to fix the one, how are you buying 20 to 30 more?
You're taking out loans, yeah, and as we find out, you're trying to call in favors.
Yep, get some investors.
Right.
Yes. But yeah, she has like all these real estate listings and, mm-hmm, everything of like 20 to 30 locations. And she said, you know, Rosebud would be a chain. And, you know, that's going to get us some real money. And of course, Johnny's, yeah, like, how did you come up with this idea? Maybe this could work. To which she shares that she got it from his book, yeah, which we totally forgot to mention when they had their employee meeting with the new employees,
mm-hmm,
at the other motel. Johnny was giving them all copies of his book.
I didn't notice.
Oh, you didn't notice?
No,
that?
I noticed, yeah, more in this episode than some others. I was frantically typing notes at the,
yeah,
very start before I actually,
yeah,
started looking at the screen.
He was handing out. Excuse me. He was handing out copies of his book to,
okay,
all of the
it's great
employees.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice because I think she says, I got this idea from a book. A wise man or something once,
yeah,
said this.
Yeah.
To which it's a great line when Roland said, and a wise man also once said, thank you to my wife, Moira. And how he says, that's just the dedication, and to which Roland says, that's as far as I got into the book.
Yeah, but Johnny's like, all right, well, if we really want to do,
yeah,
this, we need to get some proper investors. We need to call in favors.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not sure who will take my calls, but I feel like this is something that,
right,
some people I know may be interested in.
Yes.
Right, yeah. And so with that, I don't want to say issue put to bed because that'll continue to be an issue, of course.
Right.
We now go back to the kids' room where now David's watching.
Yes.
Sunrise Bay. In the background. And just him chiming in from time to time is fun during this conversation.
Yeah. Alexis is kind of scared she was going to start to get bed sores. So she's going for a run, which she's going for a run in the dark. I feel like it's nighttime, right?
They
were just having a dinner time meeting and they were at the Wobbly Elm and it was dark.
It's definitely nighttime. But you know what? She's getting back
it's
into
a safe
it. So,
little town, I
yeah,
guess.
Day or night,
yeah,
you go for your run.
Yeah.
She also says that you talked about the bed sores, mm-hmm, thing, but she also said, and my brain doesn't feel right. And I like how Moira said, yeah, that's an issue. And there was the New England Journal of Medicine did a study about how that show,
uh-huh,
might mess with people's brains.
Yeah. Yeah, so David is watching Sunrise,
mm-hmm,
Bay now, like you said, chiming in with like little anecdotes,
mm-hmm,
and little questions and comments. But Moira shares with Alexis that she was right about Clifton. He did get her off the show, and she talks about how they negotiated a deal. And her deal was for Clifton to be written off.
Yep.
More money, and she requested a diamond tennis bracelet.
Yes. Yeah, to which Alexis is like, well, that seems a little over the top. But basically, it is revealed that her whole plan was to keep making insane demands until they finally said, no to her.
Yeah.
And could not meet her demands, so she wants nothing to do with this.
Yes.
To which, and I know that this is not the reason why you should do anything acting-wise, these fans of Sunrise Bay are going to be very sad when they find out that she is not returning. Oh, and I don't really know, they're rebooting this with...
Any kind of reboot, that's what you're looking for.
Yes!
Like the show, you want it to be like what it was.
Yeah.
But, with the people.
But you know what? Maybe she's playing the longest game ever, where then, because of fan outrage, they then have to keep meeting these demands until she finally signs on.
She's very smart.
Yeah. Yep.
Moira Rose.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I love how this ends with them just listening to the episode, because she's apparently still in the cave.
Uh-huh.
Her daughter's in the cave. And she says, oh, this is where it really starts picking up, when the cave starts talking back to her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Voiced by Peter Falk.
Yeah.
At the end, that's how this ends. Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
So at the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best Schitt's Creek episode to the least best Schitt's Creek episode. So, Carla, if this episode were a plotline from Sunrise Bay, would it be being trapped in a cave with your daughter or playing your own brother?
Oh, I don't know.
I will.
They both sound not great.
Okay. I will turn your list to you and you can scroll, or I can scroll.
Well, right. On the level know that's of a difficulty challenge.
Of scrolling.
There's fun things in this episode. It's not my favorite.
So it's not number one, is what you're saying.
Not number one.
Shocking. Okay.
No, like, I don't know. I think I just don't like... It sounds awful to say.
Yeah.
I love Moira. I don't love Moira's acting ventures. I don't love the crows. And even though the Sunrise Bay stuff is really funny, I did not really, like, I just couldn't get into that as much.
So are you saying she should stick to Herb Ertlinger commercials?
Yeah, because I liked. Yes, right. Anything with that. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't get into, like, the Sunrise. Like, I kind of found myself, like, I don't want to write this down.
Do you want me to scroll lower on your list?
No, I mean, I think it was just very, like... There was a lot of content, too, packed into this
episode, I know.
As we talked about.
I'm just going to scroll down a little bit. Okay. Just assuming. This is me making assumptions.
I'm going to say this is my new number. I'm going to say 37.
Okay.
Because there was stuff that I enjoyed about it. Okay. It just didn't speak to me as, like, one of my most faves.
So your new 37, actually, right above last episode, Rebound. Oh, yeah. Mine's a little bit higher, not a whole lot higher. Actually, maybe it's significantly higher. Mine's 21.
I feel like Rebound was high. Wait, was Rebound higher for you?
Or no, Rebound was lower. Yeah, I think Rebound was pretty low for both of us. This episode, and this is kind of something I struggle with this episode and also Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose, even though I have that so very high, they kind of don't feel like Schitt's Creek episodes. Does that make sense? Like, this felt like something different. It really, it feels like just a Moira episode.
Uh-huh.
I know that stuff's happening with David's wedding. I get it. I know that Alexis is kind of like, yeah. And I also feel like, for as much as I enjoyed the guest stars here, I felt distracted by them.
Uh-huh.
And maybe this is why people shouldn't do this with, maybe this is why you shouldn't have Brad Pitt show up on Friends, because I'm just thinking about Brad Pitt. Like,
I didn't find myself thinking about Victor Garber, because both of those men were like, their characters that they were playing were like annoying and you're like underhanded and you know, so I don't feel like I was distracted by them. I felt like they were kind of like, oh God, these like pretentious.
Okay. No, that's, you know, no, that's fine.
Soap opera leading man and,
right,
you know, like, kind of like sneaky snake.
Yeah.
What was he supposed to be? Like
sneaky snake. You got it.
Like, no, like he just was like a shady producer or whatever. Yeah. Or what was his.
And all, but also the same where Johnny Rose didn't quite feel like a regular Schitt's Creek episode, but I liked it. Like, it's weird that I'm saying bad things about an episode that I have in the top third. It's very funny. Uh-huh. Like, I really felt like the writing was really great.
Yeah, oh, you liked all the Sunrise Bay plot lines and stuff that were mentioned. Yeah.
I was sad that Sunrise Bay isn't a real thing, to be honest, because I would watch it immediately from episode one. And then I'd do a podcast about it.
Oh, yeah. Not with me.
We all know you're retiring. We all understand that. There is something I think I should say, and I'll probably say it with every episode going, because as we near the end, and if you are a regular listener, you probably already know this, but let's say that you just found us and started with Sunrise Bay, right. Sunrise, Sunset. Episode. Yeah, this is your favorite episode, so you wanted to hear what we had to say about it. We are going to do one final episode after the last episode of Schitt's Creek. So while you might think we only have four episodes left, no, we will have
five.
We don't know what that fifth one's going to be. Yeah. Us sitting, staring at each other in a closet, maybe, wondering what to talk about, I guess. Yeah. But that is what's going to be happening in the future.
You see what happens, how we can get off on tangents, even when we do have things to drive our discussion.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it was difficult because of what we were talking about before this. I'm sure it was difficult for you not to talk about 90210 and what your favorite episode of that was when we started recording.
What?
We were talking about 90210 before we started recording.
Why would I want to talk about that here? It's not relevant.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dylan McKay's always relevant.
Oh, 100%.
All right. So next time we talk, we will be talking about the 11th episode of season 6, The Bachelor Party. And I can't wait to talk about how much I want to do an escape room, but simultaneously never want to do an escape room. Wow. It seems like something that would be really fun, but I'm afraid I'd be really bad at it and regret the decision to do it immediately.
All right. Well, we'll save that discussion.
Yeah, we will. Yes, we
don't
will.
Give away too
no,
much.
I know.
Always keep the listeners wanting
more. But everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for rating and reviewing the show wherever you get it. If you haven't done that, that would be fantastic. Reach out to us. Let us know what you think. And until we talk to you in 2 weeks, have a great 2 weeks, everybody.
Mr. Guys.